We're leading this morning with the special stresses of inflation and rising interest rates in the poorest parts of the world. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. When interest rates go up, debt gets more expensive to pay back, and that's money many low-income countries don't have the leeway to pay. Plus, higher interest rates push up the U.S. dollar, devaluing foreign currencies. Now, these are key topics with the spring meetings of the World Bank and International Monetary Fund kicking off today. David Malpass is the outgoing president of the World Bank. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, David. Hi.
People are talking about an emerging debt crisis. What are you seeing? Are low-income countries going into default?
A lot of them are under severe pressure. 60% of the poorest countries are at high risk. And you're right that the higher interest rates are part of it, the slower world growth. The rates were so low for so long in the advanced economies that it's going to take some years to straighten that out.
And you're hosting the first in-person meeting of a high-level roundtable on global sovereign debt. That's the debts of nations. Do you think the lenders bear some responsibility here for pushing too much of this debt on those countries?
Yes, the lenders bear responsibility as well as the borrowers. It's a two-way street. All of the creditors, the lenders, have done very well in this environment. I've really wanted to get a more inclusive group of people, participants, talking about this problem. So we have the debtor country finally able to come and sit at the table and say, here's our problem. The debts are too much and the contracts are not disclosable. And then have the lenders actually respond to that. The private sector, the various parts of China that have lent into these countries are at the table. And I hope going to find a way to break through the stalemate.
We're talking about sovereign debt, the debt of nations. We're talking about big international lenders. But, you know, we're really talking about struggling actual people who feel the brunt of this if a country were to go into default. This is about individuals and it's about poverty.
That's exactly right. And the poverty numbers have gone up over the last 4 years. That's worrisome. And it's connected to that what's gone on in the advanced economies. You went through a period of 10 years of near zero rates, but that really has come to an end. And we're now in an environment where we have a whole new economic landscape in the advanced economies, post-monetarism, and there's no easy way out of that. And some of the countries are caught in this same mix.
Mr. Malpass, you're leaving your job before the end of your five-year term. You were criticized for not fully getting the need to deal aggressively with climate change. What can you say about that controversy now?
Well, there are big problems in the world, and one of the tendencies of the world is to point fingers elsewhere. The key thing is I've been super busy. 4 years, it's a very challenging job here at the World Bank, and that comes on top of a super challenging job within the U.S. government. So I've put in 6 years of public service. We accomplished a lot at the World Bank, including on climate. You know, in my tenure, we doubled our spending on climate. But whatever you do, the world is going to look at it and say, well, we want to go to conferences and we aren't really going to put new money in, but it should be solved by the World Bank. The World Bank is doing a huge, immense effort in this area. I hope it can have impact and impact on the world.
David Malpass, president of the World Bank, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, David.
We'll talk more about that subject and the gathering debt crisis for less developed economies in the extended version of that interview, streamable from the Marketplace page. And now that March Madness is over, the corporate quarterly profit season begins. Not that I'm implying a correlation with the timing there. The big banks reveal how they did starting late this week. We're not getting the raises we were last year. The Labor Department reported on Friday that average hourly pay went up 4.2% year over year compared to nearly 6% 1 year ago. And while some retail inflation is coming down, the pay is not keeping pace, something people drawing paychecks know all too well. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
In a recent survey, Bankrate.com found that in spite of rising layoffs, slower hiring, and fewer job openings,
the majority of Americans in the workforce tell us they plan to look for a job over the next year.
Senior economic analyst Mark Hamrick says workers who quit and find a new job typically get a raise about double that of workers who stay put. Meanwhile, according to a new report from the Pew Research Center, when people do get a new job, only about 3 in 10 actually ask for a higher salary than the employer initially offers. Pew's Rachel Minkin says there's a gender gap here.
Women are more likely than men to say they didn't feel comfortable asking for higher pay.
There's also a gap when candidates do try to get a better deal.
Women are more likely than men to say they were only given what was initially offered after asking for higher pay.
Young workers, meanwhile, feel the most uncomfortable asking for more money, but are the least satisfied with the salary they actually get. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
As companies deal with higher interest rates and plan for what some economists see as a possible recession over the next year, firms are buying less equipment. Apple's shipments of computers, not iPhones or watches or earpods, but minis and iMacs, were down more than 40% January to March, according to Bloomberg News. A separate published report last week indicated that Apple is pausing its manufacturing of the microprocessors at the center of many of its computers. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.